I love you, Lord. And let's remember that we love Him because He first loved us. Turn with me again today to the epistle of James in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, the writer, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives instructions concerning the various testings of our faith. Last Sunday, I looked at temptation, and the word in the Bible, tempt and temptation, is used in two different ways. We saw last Sunday that it, in the context of James 1, 13 through 15, it was used in the idea of soliciting us to do evil or to sin. And let no man say that when he is tempted, that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. So that's what we looked at last week. Now today, I would like to look down in verses 22, 24, and 25 in particular. But there are some connecting verses there in between. But let's read verses 22 through 25. And here we see the test of obedience. Now Jesus Himself said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." And He says here in James 1 and 22, "But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, Lord, I'm so thankful to be here today. For we don't know from day to day if we'll be able to get up and go about a daily routine, but it's by Your mercies that we're here physically this morning. Lord, and I pray for our members and friends who are absent this day. We're getting older each day, and I pray, Lord, that You'll just continually strengthen our members who are aging. Lord, that You may strengthen their bodies and mind and their heart and soul, that they might be able to be back with us again. For we love them dearly, and we miss them. And we pray too, Lord, that You would send others out from the community that might have a desire to worship Thee at this place, that we might be able to continue to keep house for Thee here. Now, O God, may the meditations of our heart, the words of our mouths, Lord, I pray, be acceptable in Thy sight. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we see here that beginning in verse 19 of James chapter 1, he says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," so he's speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ who are loved by God, loved by the writer James, and who love each other. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." We should be working more on the skill of listening more than the skill of speaking, although we need to work on both. But we certainly need to listen before we speak. And that also applies to obeying the Word of God. We have to listen to what the Lord has to say to each and every one of us. We need to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts and lives like the still small voice that Elijah heard and like that voice that Isaiah heard. It says, listen to that voice of God when you're tempted to stray to the left or stray to the right. And we listen to Him through His Spirit and through the studying, the reading, and the preaching of His Holy Word, the Bible. And it is through those avenues, and God also uses other people of His own children, that we should listen to them as well and listen to the wisdom that God has given to them that will help us in our walk with God. But we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Because the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. He says in James there 1:20, whenever we become angry or fly off the handle at other people, that is not working the righteousness of God. Now, God has and exhibits at times a holy, righteous anger, a holy indignation over the sins of His own people and the wickedness of the world we live in. And we have that ability to have a holy indignation toward evil and sin. But there He's talking not about that, but having evil and anger and wrath in our hearts never works good of God. So what are we to do then before we can listen and do the will of God? He tells us in verse 21 there, this is a prerequisite before we can not only listen, but actually apply and do the Word of God. He says, wherefore, lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That can be translated as the overflowing of wickedness. In other words, it's like what the Apostle Paul taught in Romans, I believe it's in chapter 3, where he says, put off the old man with the sinful lust and put on the new man. Let me read that. It's found in Romans, if I may find it. No, it's in Ephesians. I'm sorry. It's in Ephesians. Let me look in Ephesians. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 4, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be, you have heard Him. To hear Him implies listening, doesn't it? Now, initially, before we were born of the Spirit of God, He sovereignly came into our lives in regeneration. And we didn't have anything to do with that. But once we're made alive in Christ, we hear the voice of His Son. And we are taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that is, our former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul in Romans 12 said, be renewed in your mind, and that we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he goes on with other things. But that tells us, just like James in our text says in verse 21, that we must lay aside all filthiness that we might receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Now here, he's not talking about our eternal salvation, but rather, I believe, talking about delivering ourselves from the pitfalls of sin and disobedience, that we might live in the kingdom of God, or in the kingdom of heaven, here in this life. That we might receive with meekness the Word of God that has been engrafted into our soul. Now Jesus in regeneration through the Holy Spirit has been engrafted into our soul. Something that was not there previously has been placed in our heart. And it is the Holy Spirit of God. And then we realize that if God lives in us, His Word should live in us, not just in the hearing of it, but in the doing. Because as we live in this life, it is not just the hearing of the Word that delivers us, but it is the obeying or the doing of it that delivers us from the pitfalls of sin and wickedness. And so beginning in verse 22, he teaches that truth. But rather, be you doers of the word, and not hearers only. For if we are hearers and not doers, who are we deceiving? Are we deceiving God? Are we deceiving other people? No. He says we are deceiving our own selves. And self-deception, I believe, is the worst kind of deception. It is insidious to the point that we don't even realize that we are self-deceived. Now, Jesus taught about this in the Sermon on the Mount that we went through last year in the fall of 2024. But in that Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus teaches us about not being only hearers, but doers of the word. Matthew 7, 21. He says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but rather he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Remember that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching things concerning the kingdom of heaven here on this earth. And we realize then, of course, that there's nothing that we can do to gain our home in eternal heaven. But rather, here we find, if we would enter into the joy of fellowship with the Lord, we must not only acknowledge Him with our lips, but we must follow Him with our deeds. For Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils or demons? In thy name have we not done many wonderful works? That leads me to believe that he's speaking to children of God. And then he says in verse 23, and then Jesus says that I will profess to them that I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Now Jesus will never cast off his people eternally. And he will never forever even cast us off in this life either. But he will not recognize our service to him if it is not done in love and in a sincere desire to do what he would have us to do. We can go through and do religious acts with impure motives, as the Pharisees did of Jesus' day. They were outwardly religious. No, but Jesus said that inwardly, they were as if they were full of dead men's bones. And then Jesus gave the very familiar parable, if you will, of the two foundations and the men, the one person who built his house on the rock, the other on the sand, and the storms of life came and beat on the house, and the one that was founded on a rock stood, but the one that was built on sand collapsed and washed away. And we know that that rock is Christ. Just like it was Jesus who was the rock that Moses struck in the wilderness and out of which came flowing water for the children of Israel to drink. And so not everyone who saith unto me, Jesus said, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but rather he who doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And some may ask, how may I know the will of my Father? Well, a good place to start is prayer and meditating in the Word of God, listening to what the Lord says, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because his revealed will is in his word. But then James teaches us how we are like whenever we hear the word and fail to take heed to it. So he says, beginning in verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in a glass. That is, in a mirror, if you will. That's what we would say today. A mirror, the looking glass, looking into the mirror. And what do we see, especially in the morning, when we look in the mirror? Well, we, as a man, we might say, oh, I need to shave. I need to brush my teeth. I need to fix my hair. You know, women also. We see that, oh, we need to fix ourselves to make ourselves presentable. But if we see ourselves and the flaws that we have, and then we don't do anything to try to correct it, it is as if we immediately forget what manner of man we are. And if we don't take care of ourselves, it'll just get worse. But then verse 25. But, there's a great contrast there. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. And what is that? It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God that shows us the liberty we have in Christ. It brings liberty. Paul said it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what he said. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so there Paul compares the Word of God to a mirror that we look in. And when we look in God's Word, first we should see how glorious and how holy God is. And then, when we look at ourselves, it should cause us to see how sinful we are. What happened to the prophet Isaiah when he saw the glory of God? In Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the glory of God. And then he saw his own sin. Isaiah 6 and verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, we see a glimpse of him through his word as we study it from day to day. And hopefully we see it in his children around about us. And hopefully others see him in us. But it should cause us to know when that mirror of God's word, when it reflects back to us, it should cause us to see our own sin. For when we look then into the perfect law of liberty, and Jesus is the one who gives us freedom. Freedom from sin. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said, and if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. He then being not a forgetful hearer, but being a doer of the work. Notice there, he uses not the word word, but the word work, to emphasize even more fully that it is a work that we are to do. Now, we cannot do the work that Jesus did going to that cross 2,000 years ago. That was a work that only God could do for us. But there is much work for us to do. Jesus said this in John chapter 6. There were those there that were following Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fish. And he told them that, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And then they said unto Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? It sounded as if some of them were thinking, I wish I could take 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish and multiply them to feed thousands. But Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. And in believing, then, we are then to do what he commands us to do. Being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but rather a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice the preposition in. We are not blessed for our deeds. God doesn't bless us because we've done good, but rather in the doing of the word, there are blessings to be received. Not simply because we did them, but rather because it is the blessing and the overflowing benefit of obedience. We believe in those rewards and blessings in this life. So when we do those things that are pleasing to God, we hear that voice of the Lord telling us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so we are blessed in the doing of it. Now, let's look for a moment at Christ and remember that Jesus was always obedient to the will of His Heavenly Father. Paul speaks of that in Philippians chapter 2. When Jesus was on the earth, he says in Philippians chapter 2, and it's the same kind of attitude that we're to have. Beginning in verse 5, he said, Let this attitude be in you also, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that is God Himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, because he was and is equal with God. But what did he do? He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was obedient to go to the cross for you and me because, number one, he loved his Heavenly Father and he wanted to please him, and because he loved you and me. So in like manner, Jesus says this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It is the evidence of our love for Christ, striving to do what He'd have us to do. And He said in verse 21 of John 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them, that is, obeys them, he it is who loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That is, in the keeping of his word, we have fellowship with Jesus and with our Father in heaven. He openly manifests His presence to our life. He's always with us. He lives in us. But there are times when we do not feel His presence. But God help us that we strive to obey and be doers of the work, that He might manifest His heartfelt presence in our lives. He says then in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The we there is the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We will come unto Him. Not into, but unto. He's already in us in regeneration. But He will manifest Himself openly that we may see and feel His presence. But on the other hand, he who loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. Don't you want to feel and experience the heartfelt presence of Jesus? I know I do, and I know you do as well. But to be able to feel it and experience it, we have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and not only be a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the work. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.